Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show, episode 101.
Mike the Dalmatian.
I'm Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, man, what's up?
Nothing you're about to hear is true. We're happy to have you. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for caring enough to tune in. Click on our little show. We're happy to be here. We're so dedicated. We are dedicated mofos.
That's right.
We record regardless of the circumstances.
Yes, your circumstances seem awful dire and completely destitute from where I'm standing.
Dire and destitute, but we'll talk about that later. Before we get to my dire and destitute situation, we will we cannot not acknowledge and honor in just some horrible news in the past few weeks. It's weird. All of this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Thicke died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, yeah.
George Michael died.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the worst of all, Carrie Fisher died.
There's no maybe to that.
And then I just found out about 45 minutes ago, Debbie Reynolds died.
As did the rest of us. I just read that myself.
I saw that, and I thought, didn't I just read that was Carrie Fisher's mom? And I saw it, actually, and I go, Constance, Debbie Reynolds died. And she goes, are you kidding me? And I go, who's Debbie Reynolds?
Wow.
She's like, that's Carrie Fisher's mom. I was like, I thought so. That's the weirdest, craziest. George Takei said that he can't help but think that she died of a broken heart.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
That's the same thing that killed Johnny Cash.
Different situation, but I'm pretty sure it was exactly the same thing.
Well, he survived his for a lot longer, though. I think he survived, like, years.
No, months. No, it was only like 6 months, if I remember right.
Yeah, so like 6 months. But Debbie Reynolds, man, she was diagnosed, and then within days, she was gone.
I'm not exactly looking forward to like 3 days from now when all the tabloid bullshit hits the grocery store stands. Because, yeah, you know, as much, I spend a lot of time in grocery stores, and I get tired of looking at that stupid shit.
Here's how you know that this thing we like to call Star Wars,
mm-hmm,
has not only been a part of our lives,
right,
but it's gonna continue to be part of our lives for well into the future.
Yeah.
And will be part of our kids' lives. Here's, mm-hmm, how you know that. We opened the show with me. I truly, before all this, didn't know Debbie Reynolds was Carrie Fisher's mom.
Yeah.
I knew who Carrie Fisher was, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But when I said Debbie Reynolds died, and my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, who's soon to be 12, said, who's Debbie Reynolds? And my wife says, well, that's Carrie Fisher's mom. Who's Carrie Fisher? Well, she's Princess Leia. And she's like, who's Princess Leia? I said, General Leia. She goes, oh, no. She's like, how are they going to make it episode 8?
Yeah, you gotta be more specific about that. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Constance is like, Princess Leia. She's like, what country is she the princess of? I go, no, General Leia. Oh, no. I said, well, they already filmed everything they need for episode 8. So they're either going to have to kill her off at the end of episode 8 or the beginning of episode 9. She's like, oh, whew.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy, like, to think about.
I'm not going to lie. And I put this on Facebook the other day. I'm not going to lie. I'm still absorbing that whole thing. And I was standing in the bank, and it came over their TVs they had in the thing, and I'm like, I'll be right back. And I had to excuse myself from the teller. I went around a corner. I'm just like doing one of these things with the hands. I was just like, because, you know, Princess Leia is like our generation's it girl. She was like the first one that we all, you know, noticed, really, when you think about it. And it still, you know, after all those years, we still think about her as that, you know, as that character. And yeah, she's gone on to do other things and, you know, wrote books and had movies made about her life and things like that. But that was a big impact, man.
So 60 years old,
mm-hmm.
way too young,
mm-hmm.
only 13 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. I guess I didn't think she was very old. But then when they said 60, I was like, oh, she's not very old.
Well, when you do the math, you're like, no.
When I was 13, she was 26.
Mm-hmm.
Was she 19 in the first Star Wars?
Yeah.
Is that what I read?
Yeah, she was 19 in the first movie.
And then in that case, I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
You were 7 and I was 6 when Star Wars came out?
It's that 1977.
Wow.
And here's what's messed up. My mom dropped me and my little brother off at the movies at night to go see Star Wars.
Nice.
And left us there and came back and got us. And I'm thinking, if that were to happen today, you know, my mom would have pulled up to get us and CPS would be standing there with handcuffs. But back then it wasn't that way. And it was just, yeah, it was that long ago.
So you were 8 and your little brother was 6.
Yeah.
Wow. So mm-hmm. an 8-year-old, I'm just imagining my 8-year-old taking a 6-year-old to the movies.
I know. I've got one of those too. And I'm just like, you know, it's bad enough. My oldest, she's 15. And her and I talk about how she was when she was 8 and 9 years old. And we look at my 8-year-old and go, there's a major difference in like mental or emotional maturity and things like that. And I can't imagine.
Your 15-year-old, much like you, is an old soul.
Yeah, she's ahead of the curve, yeah.
I think you had a goatee when you were, what, 9?
Yeah, yeah, if you go look at the yearbooks.
Yeah, so I mean, that maybe that's not such a big thing. I mean, you taking a 6-year-old, you were probably like, hey, bud, go get me a pack of smokes.
That's right. People are like, oh, look at that midget bringing his son to the movies.
So just to keep us from getting too far adrift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What were you thinking about when you, did you hear that she had the heart attack on the plane on the way, like
yeah.
on December yeah. 23rd? 2 days before Christmas, did you hear about the heart attack?
Yes.
What were you thinking when you heard that?
I figured at 60 she was good to go.
Yeah.
I know people who are, you know, 70 to 80 years old that have had heart attacks and walked away from it, you know?
Mm.
And I didn't even really think about it. I was just like, it was like an oh shit moment, but I wasn't thinking it was going to lead to, you know, her untimely demise.
Mm-hmm.
But that never even entered my mind.
So then we go through Christmas, and the day after Christmas, we get the news
mm-hmm.
that she has crossed over the rainbow bridge, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
What? And you were in the bank.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be one of those moments that you'll always remember where you were?
In the, for lack of a better term, in the geek culture that I am surrounded in, she's a big damn deal. And at our age, she's a big deal. And, you know, she, as Princess Leia, set a mold, particularly, I mean, in me and in a lot of boys our age, not even on like a pre-pubescent like sexual kind of way, just like a there was something about her that we were just attracted to. You know, we didn't know at, you know, 8 years old what the hell that even was, but we were just drawn to it. And then to have her be such a memorable character after all these years, yeah, it's I'm not gonna forget, you know.
Yeah. And what about her performances or whatever? So there was Star Wars. And do you think the infatuation, that's probably not the right word. Infatuation implies like a crush, but the admiration maybe is a better word. Do you think the admiration started with Star Wars? Or do you think it took all three of the original trilogy to build that up?
Back then, remember, we didn't really have franchises, so we didn't know, you know, and we didn't have the information superhighway, so we didn't know anything, and we didn't know there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
And I think it started for me, it definitely started with the first one. And it just got better as it went along. But
the reason I bring that up is I don't go to the cons and stuff, but I do from time to time do internet searches to see what the people at the cons are doing and mainly what they're wearing. And, you know, most people who show up to a con dressed as Princess Leia, it's not from A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back.
They have parades. They have Princess Leia slave girl parades.
The Princess Leia slave, right?
Yep.
So I was wondering if that like solidified her as a sex symbol, that Return of the Jedi slave scene. Or if they had not had that scene, would she still be as iconic in sexual as she ended up being?
Well, I think definitely the sex appeal happened in that, that's the weird thing. I mean, physically, she was more or less average as far as, you know, if you think about it. This was the days before the personal trainers for movies would basically rip you into shape and make you look like a supermodel, and you'd have all kinds of enhancement surgery. She was kind of plain, you know, but the outfit she had on in Return of the Jedi is kind of ingrained in our psyche, because that thing goes all the way, that look goes all the way back to like Flash Gordon and stuff like that. That was the whole idea behind it. And the sex appeal, yeah, happened in that movie because well, look at it.
So if you think about that bikini and that look, so that wasn't something that George Lucas dreamed up.
George Lucas and what's his name? Spielberg, because Spielberg and him worked on like Indiana Jones and things like that, and they're buddies and everything. The majority of his influences for movies like Star Wars and Raiders are taken from the old movie serials, because that's where the scrolling text at the beginning of each movie comes from. Because the beginning of each serial episode, they would have like, here's what happened last week kind of a thing.
Oh.
Or what's going to happen this week. And so all that stuff, the fact that they were both big, you know, dogfight fans and stuff like that. And that's why the fight, you know, the Death Star scene is very World War II-esque, you know. It's all their stuff is taken from stuff that influenced them growing up as kids. So that's where that comes. That's where the outfit basically comes from.
So that's something about the scrolling words.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know that. And the idea that Star Wars A New Hope started with the scrolling words.
Mm-hmm.
As if you were coming into the middle of something,
because that commonly happened in serials. Mm-hmm. Because like my dad, for instance, they didn't always make it in the town to see the serials on Saturday morning. So they would miss one or two episodes, and they'd come in halfway through, you know, a series, and the little scrolling thing in the beginning of the movies, the little plot summaries would help get the kids caught up to what had happened. I think that's why he started at four as opposed to one, you know, was to give that whole experience, like it had been going on for a while, just like the serials did.
I feel like he probably didn't ever think there would be a one, a two, and a three. He just thought, here's a cool thing to do, you know?
That's why, yeah, and that's why he put all the eggs in that one basket, because it had, you know, it was a finale of sorts right in the middle of a supposed series. So he put all of his eggs in one basket for that movie.
Fast forward to episode 7, and you have General Leia with her baboon butt haircut.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Okay, before we go there, you were talking about Carrie Fisher and her body. Her face, you know, she's got like one of those faces that at some angles you go, oh my God, how striking, classic beauty. At another angle, you'll go, wait, her chin's too long and her forehead is too far away from her neck.
Right.
And then at another angle, you'll go, badass. And I think a lot of that is what, for me, really pulls it off, because she wasn't ever a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
You know, she was never like, oh, you know, come save me, Luke. Any chick that expects Luke to come save her? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, he's a little short for a stormtrooper.
And very in charge. She's like the white Michelle Obama. You know what I mean? She's like a strong leader, beautiful, looks good in a sleeveless dress, but will take you down if you cross her.
Well, her character, the character of Princess Leia, actually had, if I may be so bold, the character of Princess Leia is where I drew a lot of my influence for the character of Tasma in my comic book, The Serial Squad. She was short. She has no powers, but yet she, as soon as she shows up on the scene, she takes over. And that's basically what once she was quote unquote rescued, she took over, you know? So she just needed that. Somebody just needed to open the door from the other side, you know?
That's awesome. She is the total embodiment of rescue. I didn't need to be rescued, but okay.
I was just waiting for somebody to open that damn door.
It's like, who rescued who? So, Serial Squad, speaking of comics, I listened to several episodes of Comic Alternative.
Oh, yeah?
And I will confess, I took as an invitation the fact that they, in the description of the episode, they put time codes for what happens at each thing. And I thought, that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing for people like me who are like, I just want to hear the webcomics update from Paul and Jim. That's all I want to hear. So they give the time when that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad thing in that maybe I would have listened to the entire episode just to hear the part I wanted to hear. But they're probably thinking, hey, it's an hour and a half podcast. We don't want to frustrate people by making them sit through a bunch of stuff they weren't really interested in.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do it. I'm just glad they did.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, but I think it's mostly a good thing. I mean, their diehard fans will listen to the whole thing. But, like, if you want your mom to listen, you want to be able to tell her, tune in at 21 minutes into it. That's when I show up, Mom.
True. I thought the first one I listened to was December, because I when we were talking about it either last week or the week before, I subscribed immediately. And so the first episode I had in my feed was December. So I listened, and they come on and they go, well, Paul's not feeling well. And I think it's something like it feels like he's gargling glass.
I could not talk. I could not say a word. My kids loved it.
And then one of the PhDs says, hey, I think it was Jim. McClane, who mm-hmm. says, Jim McClane, who is, well, before we go much further, we should probably tell our listeners what we're talking about. And I'll tell you.
Okay.
So the Comics Alternative is, if you know, it's easy to find. If you mm-hmm. search iTunes for Comics Alternative, you could even go to Google and search Comics Alternative. You'll find their podcast. It's excellent if you're into comics. But Paul and his buddy Jim McClane are working on a webcomic called Poe and the
Mysteriads.
Mysteriads, thank you. It's a webcomic that Paul and Jim McClane are working on. Was I allowed to say that?
Well, it's on their show, so it's out there.
Launch date of January 1st. Is that still mm-hmm. valid?
That, as far as I know, yeah.
And the Comics Alternative have Paul and Jim on a monthly basis to give an update
mm-hmm.
Because they talk a lot about comics that have already been published, but they thought it'd be interesting to talk to an artist and a writer or writer-artist
mm-hmm.
About a comic in progress.
Yeah.
So they've been given monthly updates, and Paul told me about it, so I thought, Paul being you, told me about it,
Thank you.
I thought, oh, I'll go check it out, and December comes on, and no Paul. Jim was going like, yeah, he has his own podcast, and I'm, you know, so I'm sure he probably missed that one, too. Little did he know that you don't miss this one.
Well, I would have if we would have been recording that day. That day, I couldn't make words that day. I think it was probably, we typically do those on Saturdays. So by Wednesday, when we do this show, I was at least, well, you heard how I sounded that day, and that was, it was pretty bad. I've only just now started to be myself again.
So one of the PhDs says, hey, you're right. He does have a podcast. I believe he mentioned our show on one of their recent episodes. Yes, he did. When I was listening to that, I thought, another show that I imagine to be popular. I have no idea what their listenership is. But another show that I imagine to be popular seemed to be excited that they were mentioned on our little show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's all I need. That's the whole reason I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need the money. I don't need the fame. I mean, it's nice that we do have the fame and the money, but that's not what I need. I just love the idea that the two PhDs discussing comics are excited that we mentioned their show.
Yeah. I also forewarned them if they decide to tune in. And it is different. It is different being on the other side of the show. That, you know, as in it's not my show. It's their show. I'm the guest. And it's kind of like a weird, this is what guys feel like when they come on our show. But these guys don't swear as much as we do. So,
that's true.
It is kind of an interesting perspective.
So then, of course, I had to go back and listen to October and November.
Mm-hmm.
I think September was probably the first one, because October sort of sounded like, for some reason, like the second one. So it was September 1st and then October? It was October 1st.
I think I've been on three now, so you can do the math and figure that out. So
so that would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you weren't on December. But I remember October, you had 5 pages done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
November, you had 9 pages done, right?
No. Was that
Jim's report?
That was probably Jim's report.
Ah, Jim's report in December was that you had 9 pages. Your goal, I believe, was to have 20 pages by January 1st.
Yeah, but I don't see that being possible. It's,
well, you still have about 72 hours.
Well, and actually, I have several things on my drawing board right now. One of the things, about it, it's like doing their show is another one of those where you break down the fourth wall kind of a thing, because the whole beauty of the interview is to show people that, yeah, you have this plan. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to do. But then the day-to-day stuff that interjects into your plan, but yet you keep going, you know, it kind of gives people, Because people just have the idea that, generally speaking, people have the idea that you have this idea, so you put it forward and you get it done. Right. But that doesn't always work out like that. It's been a banner. I use the term loosely. It's been a banner year for Jim, and a not so good year for myself. So we've had, and also with this book, a webcomic, we're starting from ground zero and work and building this whole universe. So there's a whole lot of. You don't just sit down and go, I want to do a story about a superhero and just start drawing it. And, you know, and you go along and it's done. There's so much you have to take in, you know, the look of the thing, what characters you want, where you want the plot to go, what is the plot, all this crazy stuff. And then life thrown on top of it. So we hope, well, at least my goal is to, like, show people that it doesn't always work out that way, but to keep going with it regardless.
Yeah, I think that the only secret to the creative process is there is no secret.
Right.
It's just you got to sit down and do it no matter what.
And just keep doing it.
Why don't we take a little break?
Okay.
And when we come back, actually we can talk a little bit more about that. It ties into our sister brother podcast. I don't know if it's sister or brother.
What are we hillbillies?
It's our gender non-specific pansexual podcast.
Next number two.
Huh? Start that, Phil.
Okay, be real nice to him, eh?
Okay.
Okay. This is the hit single section of our album.
Good day.
Good day. Geddy Lee is here from Rush. Hi, Geddy. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, Geddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Good day, eh?
Good day. Good day. Thanks for coming down to do our hit.
Well, it's my pleasure, eh?
Did our lawyer call you?
Yeah. I'm, you know, $10 is $10.
I hope you don't mind, but there's a photographer that's going to be taking pictures of us together to prove that you are here doing the record.
In case people don't believe us.
Yeah. How come he's not wearing a toque?
Oh, he's not from the Great White North, yeah.
Okay, so if you'd like to put on a toque and some headphones, we can do the hit single now.
Sure.
Okay?
That'd be great.
Do you have the lyric sheet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I memorized them.
Oh, great. Beauty.
How did you do that so fast?
I'm a professional, eh?
Oh. We'll just sit over here, like, while you're singing, eh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Good luck, eh?
Good luck.
Okay. Yeah. This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, beauty, go.
Okay. Good day and welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh? Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, this record was my idea.
Get out.
It was.
You're lying.
Pete Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
We agreed to say that, but...
Oh, take off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And, yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Hey, hose hand.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not.
It
lying.
Is so.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Oh.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh?
Like magic.
like it was sung by angels. Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Hang on.
That can't be.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Because
what?
Well, hit records are short.
Like, no way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So, good day.
Good day.
Such a hoser.
There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, Hoser. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do a solo album.
Fine, and you'll be looking for me another label.
Oh, now everybody's gone. Good day.
Good day.
So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Jeez.
Take off, you hosers.
Hey, Getty, we'd like to thank you for coming on the album and singing on the hit single.
Well, it was my pleasure, eh? Like, I wish you guys, like, lots of success and everything.
Beauty. Thanks,
thanks
Getty.
A lot, eh?
Oh, that's great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Like, if we do another one, maybe you could do it?
Well, slow down, eh?
Okay. One at a time, right?
Don't
okay.
push the guy,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, okay. Sorry. But, you know, like, thanks for this one.
Thank you. And
no sweat.
Yeah.
Good day.
Good day.
Welcome back to the Dope Panic Radio Show, episode 101. Not to be confused with 101 Dalmatians.
That's right.
Nothing we've said so far is true, and I don't see why we should stop now saying untrue things.
Why break a tradition?
In case you couldn't tell, I'm not in the Don't Panic studios.
You're in the what do they call that? The affiliated studio or
the annex?
Yes, thank you. The annex.
The annex. And if you didn't notice, you can't spell annex without anus. Wait. Yeah, you can. Half of anus. You can't spell annex without a half-assed anus.
They hate us because they annex.
Exactly. So I'm in the Great White North. There have been other episodes where I have been in the Great White North.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the cover song episode a year and a half or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was up here and I recorded 30 minutes and then you recorded 30 minutes and we smashed it together to make one episode.
There's nothing we haven't done on this show.
The thing that I'm doing up here is hanging out with family. We're going to spend our New Year's up here, which is kind of fun. Years ago, we stopped going out for New Year's.
Yeah.
Once in a while, every 5 years we'll go out.
Yeah.
But mostly we just kind of stay in with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're up here in the Great White North and it's kind of cool. What do you do for New Year's?
Well, it's funny you would say that you would stay home with your kids. I like to stay home on New Year's Eve without my children. When at all possible, you know. In fact, this year, Uncle Carl's coming over and we're going to have dinner and watch, you know, sit around and watch porn and wait for the new year.
So when you're watching porn for the new year, do they do that countdown like when you're watching Dick Clark?
Yeah, it's not the big ball that falls from the sky to symbolize. It's like the money shot.
You're like, there's no Dick Clark and there's no ball falling from the sky, but there is Dick and there is ball.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
But no, I generally keep it quiet. Like last year, my kids were gone, and I sat around and watched a bunch of old movies that I'd bought on DVD recently. You know, I'm kind of mellow on New Year's Eve. I stopped going out like yourself, but that was back in my 20s, really.
Uncle Carl's coming over, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say hi to him for me.
Yeah, we're gonna have dinner and watch, like I said, obviously not watch porn, but watch something.
Right.
I'd love to lay my hands on an unmolested copy of New Hope, but I don't know where to get that. I would just like, cause, you know, they they fancied them up back in the 2000s or whatever. Or no, it was the 90s. To re-release them. And they got all those great special effects. But it's hard to find the original versions of them. I'd actually like to find that, but I don't see that happening.
My children have still not seen A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, or Empire Strikes Back.
Well, they're taking after their father.
Yeah, it's true. They're watching all the sequels first.
It's hard for them. I mean, my son was, he turned 13 today. He was 9 when we watched him, and we marathoned it. And he could barely get into it, because at that point in his life, if it wasn't like a Spider-Man movie, he had a hard time focusing on it. But he made it through, and he still likes it now, so.
The part I don't get about, you know, we last week or episode 99, I forget which episode, mm-hmm. but we complained, or at least I complained a whole lot about the media industry, music industry, movie industry, not, like, figuring out the right model. So I hate to complain even... Well, no, I don't. I enjoy complaining even more that I just don't get what it is they're trying to do. When episode 8 is coming, you know, when The Force Awakens is approaching,
mm-hmm.
there's tons of interest. People want to see, get caught up, whatever, on the New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. So I get that they go, oh, we're going to capitalize on everybody's interest. We're going to make gobs of money, and we're going to charge $99 for the 3 movies, right? The part I don't get is there's a whole new generation
mm-hmm.
of kids who are now interested
mm-hmm.
in, they go, oh, look, this thing called The Force Awakens was awesome. I hear back in the 70s, there were whatever. Let's check it out. And then they go, fuck, it's $99. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. Let's go play Xbox. Mm-hmm. You know, why? Or me, a family man who goes, like, the kids are like, hey, we heard there this stuff from the 70s. Let's watch it. And I pull it up on iTunes or Amazon Video or whatever, and I go, well, we can't rent it for however much. We have to buy it, and to buy it, we have to spend $99.
Right.
And I fuck that. I'm not doing that. And I don't get why they don't just go, there's a ton of people, we're not going to give them the extras and all that shit, but we'll let them rent it for $6 or whatever.
Let's see. I don't want to advocate you know, things such as like illegal downloads and things like that. But if you want to get away on the cheap, I don't want to say the word, but it rhymes with Schmalbroke Fire Smick.
Schmalbroke Smire Splick. Schmalbroke Smire Flick. Schmalbroke Fire Flick. Fucking fair. It's a clinker.
It's a clinker.
Or I could actually, I just thought of this. I could go to one of those used DVD places, and they probably have copies that I could buy.
They probably do. I know libraries carry them, and you can rent them that way or however.
It's funny. Hey, how was your Christmas?
It was great.
That's great. So at my Christmas, I didn't want to be rude and just start talking about my Christmas. But there's a family friend, there's a couple of family friends who don't really have, they don't have any family in town.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always at our holiday things, Thanksgivings and Christmases. And one of them's a librarian. And she was talking about how dudes used to come in and steal DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And she described how they ended up catching them. And I thought, this must be a story from years ago, because who in the hell steals DVDs now? There cannot be a market for stolen DVDs when you can get the Smegalon Marvers jerk. You know.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Maybe this is where I'll put the rooster back in here.
Anyway, you know, we should probably think of a way to provide 5 or 10 minutes of content and wrap it up before I get too drunk.
And we become a moral abomination.
A moral abomination.
101st episode.
Here's something I did. Mm. My niece, Jessica, had a baby.
Mm-hmm. I saw pictures.
Yeah. And there are several things that are totally awesome about it. One is, when she was 23 weeks pregnant, she went to the hospital or went for her regular checkup. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, I don't know. It's been years, so I don't remember everything, but you're like totally dilated and effaced and whatever all those words are about pregnancy.
Yeah.
And this baby's about to come out. And since you're 23 weeks, if this baby comes out, it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, lay down right now. Mm-hmm. So they put her on bed rest. They checked her into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She spent 10 weeks in the hospital.
Wow.
And every week that went by, the doctor's like, I'm amazed the baby hasn't come, but I'm super glad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they passed 25 weeks, and the doctor goes, oh, well, it's not going to die necessarily. It's got a 50-50 chance. Then, like, 26, 27 weeks goes by, and every week or two that goes by, it gets better and better. Well, she ended up having it at, like, 32 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, she had to, the baby had to go in the neonatal intensive care unit.
The NICU.
Yeah. Which I think the toad did, right?
Yeah, that's where he spent the better part of 3 months in the NICU, yeah.
By the way, happy birthday to the toad.
It blows my mind. He's 13 years old and almost 6 feet tall. And at one point in his life, he weighed less than 4 pounds.
Wow.
It's so messed up.
And how many weeks was he? I'm sorry.
He was almost exactly 2 months early.
And that would be 40 minus 8. 32.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Skylar is the baby's name, and she was about 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to meet her a few days ago, and she is perfect. I mean, just like a miniature version of perfect,
mm-hmm.
but perfect. Like, her feet look great, her hands, her everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She is just, it is so cool. And I don't know why it's so cool, because I just had my babies like 8 and 11 years ago, but it's just so cool. And to see my brother with her. And we were trying to figure out what Skylar is going to call my brother. And we went through a lot of options. G Daddy was one of the options. Gramps was a suggestion. Pawpaw. And then my brother's just like, we're sitting like just the two of us talking. He's like, I just don't even know. He's like, maybe Big Buddy. I was like, why Big Buddy? That doesn't make any sense. He goes, well, when Jessica was born, which Jessica's the mom, mm-hmm. right? He goes, when Jessica was born, I called her Buddy. And then, so ever since Skylar's been born, I've been calling her a little Buddy. And I go, clearly, your name has to be the Skipper.
The Skipper, duh.
Duh. I mean, why hasn't this occurred to you? And he's just like, oh my God, you're right. I'm the Skipper.
Well, he was a little preoccupied, you know.
So then he was trying to explain it to Jessica. And he's like, Jessica, I haven't figured out. I've been calling Skylar little Buddy, so I'm going to be the Skipper. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, you know, Gilligan's Island. She's like, who? All right, never mind. General Leia. That's who.
Yeah, that's where TV Land comes in handy.
Well, I tell you what, though. I had a good Christmas. Sounds like you had a good Christmas.
Oh, we had a great Christmas.
New Year's is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
By the time our listeners hear this, it may already be 2017. May 2017 bring you everything that you ever wanted.
And everything 2016 didn't.
Yeah, everything 2016 didn't. Of course, maybe not everything, because you got to leave a little something for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That having been said, I think it's probably about time to wrap it up, maybe.
Well, before we wrap it up, I have a...
joke?
No joke. I have an addendum or a amendment to last week's episode.
Awesome.
When we were naming off people who had helped and participated and been on the show for, you know, when we were in the middle of all the 100 episode celebration, and somehow it completely escaped me to mention the man, the myth, the legend, the man who for almost 2 years has introduced our show for us. I totally forgot to mention Hollywood.
Oh God, I forgot that he was a real person.
That smooth voice of his has made us seem legit for like a year and a half, and I totally forgot to mention it.
That's crazy, because when you were going through the I forgot to mention somebody part, I was like, well, who in the hell could it be? And I was trying to guess. I was like, no, we talked about James, we talked about Carl, we talked about MP,
I don't know what
Peppermint Mocha. And that,
yeah.
Hollywood's a real person with real feelings.
And we heard him.
We're sorry,
we
probably Hollywood. Heard
him. Well, don't feel too bad. I didn't realize it until last night because I was listening to an older episode just because I do that. I just pick random episodes. And I was like, I'm like, you know, like doing the theme song, and I'm like, fuck, I forgot to mention Hollywood.
We're sorry, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Maybe if you would come on the show, we wouldn't forget about you.
I'm sure it's just a matter of scheduling to get him on the show. He could tell us about what it was like being a DJ back in the day.
Well, it's been 2 years. It's not just a matter of scheduling. You fucking kidding me?
I meant his schedule, not ours.
It's a matter of scheduling when you go like 3 months or 8 months without getting somebody on the show. But when it goes 2 years, it's not just a matter of scheduling.
Yeah.
It's a matter of commitment.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I'm going to commit myself. And then once I receive proper medication, I'm going to see about getting him on the show, because I think it would be fun to do to have him on the show and possibly figure out a way to link it in and do another music show with him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that would be amazing. We could get him to introduce each song. You know,
well, the fact that he lives in Indianapolis, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean,
he might live right next door to you for all you know.
He might be my neighbor.
He could be.
I do live next to a giant black dude.
I think you asked me that once if that was him, and I'm like, no, that's not him.
Well, maybe MP knows him.
It could be. I'll get in touch with him, and we'll work something out here in the near future. Because I know he would do it. So.
Because I want to meet him.
Yeah, he's awesome. Well, if I get down there, what were we talking? I think in April. Because there's a convention down there that I want to check out. I think we should probably arrange some kind of to do, because there's a lot of people down in Indy that would make because Hollywood knows Bill Wilkerson too. Yeah, so it would be a whole big shebang.
Well, look, It's our birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bill Wilkinson. It's Hollywood.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And then we Arlo is probably coming down with me, and I'm going to give her $20 and make her do the joke live on the show. And then if she doesn't do it for $20, I'm paying myself $20 to do the joke.
Well, she can play guitar while and sing with Elizabeth.
We can have some musical accoutrement. No, wait, that's a hat.
Accoutrement.
Thank you.
That's right.
So maybe we should wrap this up.
Sounds good. This has been episode 101 Dalmatians. Don't click, because a rerun of the Do It Indie Radio Hour is next. You don't want to miss.
Sorry.
You don't want to miss a rerun of Do It Indie Radio Hour. Happy New Year from everyone here at the Don't Panic Studios.
That's right.
Staff. And what do they say? They say staff and... Try that again. I'm just trying to make your job harder. Don't make my job harder.
Don't make my job harder. I ain't got time for that.
My job's already hard.
If it's going to be this kind of job.
A rerun of Do It Indie Radio Hour is next with MP Pumpkin Spice, Peppermint Mocha, and Tolan. Don't click. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for telling a friend. For Paul Schultz in Hollywood, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you have just heard is true.
Stormtrooper?
Huh?